Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast12. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast12 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast12. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
Today on The Grave Talks, part two of Haunted Cells, the ghosts of the old Amador County Courthouse and Jail, conversation with Amy Davis of Gothic Paranormal. Now, how long then was it operational? Did it sit empty for a while?
It was operational until 2007. And then because it was not ADA accessible, and the 90s, they had to build a jail up the road, because they had they just had too many people in this for the capacity of the cells they had. So they had to build a bigger jail. And then I think at the time they might've started working on the new courthouse. And then in 2007, when the new courthouse moved over, they moved the courtrooms, they moved the records offices and the business offices and the DAs and all that up there. So all that is now about a mile and a half away, up Court Street. And so the building sat empty from 2007 until 2023. They did sell it off to one owner, and he just had it. It was kind of like apparently he let some people go in and do paranormal investigating. And at some point for a year or two, there was a haunted house that ran out of there for a couple of Octobers. But outside of that, it just kind of sat empty as this giant storage facility.
Oh.
Yeah. The current owners are Pat and Jamie Macklin, who created Restore Amador. And they are wonderful, wonderful people. They're Jackson natives. And they just want to see the town of Jackson and Amador County have its historic sites preserved and saved. And that's kind of the only reason they really bought the place, is to save it. The complex comes with a huge parking area behind an old, I call it the carriage house because it looks more like a carriage house, but apparently it was some sort of government offices. And then there is what was the original library and became a church right in front of that, right next door to the courthouse. And so that's all part of the complex. And so the old church that was abandoned, I think, in the early 2000s as well. And they've gone and they've like restructured that, and they've turning that into like an event center. They've held a few events inside the courthouse. That's how I met them, is somebody told us that the courthouse was haunted and we were trying to find a location for that Paracon. So they were amazing. When we talked to them, like right away, they were like, yeah, we're interested. And she said, oh yeah, there's definitely weird stuff that happens. And Pat, the husband, I don't know if he's still a total skeptic after some of the experiences he's had in the building, but he was a total skeptic, a paranormal skeptic when he bought the building, when him and Jamie bought the building. And now I think he's definitely more open-minded. He's done almost 100% of the renovations that have occurred so far. So they often mess with him. He's had things like hot and cold spots, his radio turning up and down, lights unexpectedly flickering when there's no electrical problems. One time after we installed the video cameras for the project, the haunted project we're doing there, I got to watch it all later on security camera, and it was amazing because he gets to the building, he pulls in, you can see on the security camera, his truck pulls in, he gets out of the truck, he goes in the building, he's not in the building 30 seconds, and there's a huge crash that comes from upstairs. He runs out of the building. He goes to his truck. He grabs a hammer. And you're watching this on camera. And we were laughing, but he was laughing about it afterwards. But he grabs himself a hammer. And he goes around and he's circling the building. And he's calling. There's only like two or three of us that have keys. And he's calling out our names. None of us are in the building. The building is completely vacant. And this complex is huge. It's probably close to 15,000 square feet. It is a huge, huge building complex. It's got four stories. And so he's just wandering around and you can see him from camera to camera wandering around. And then you see him go back downstairs and he goes into the basement room, which is kind of our headquarters where the security camera feed into. And he's on the TV looking at the different security cameras, trying to figure out like where the sound came from, if there's anybody in the building. He's going back. And then upstairs, while he's down there, you hear another loud bang, bang. And so he goes back upstairs and he's looking for this banging. And then he didn't hear this in real time, but as I was skimming through the footage, as he's walking around from the back room where we pinpointed the original crash came from, there's clapping coming from there.
Like, that's clap, interesting.
Clap, clap. Yeah. And it was phenomenal. So is Pat still a skeptic? I don't know, but he's had some crazy experiences.
And I'm assuming you've had your fair share. Oh. You've been in there a lot, right?
Yes. Yeah. Over the last year, I at bare minimum, I'm usually in there 10 hours a week. And there have been weeks that I've been in there 40 to 60 hours a week. And I've had some incredible experiences. My most recent one, I don't startle easy because I've been investigating for over 10 years. So I jump scare more from humans than I do from spirits.
Yeah. One night, people can be scarier sometimes.
So scary. One night I'm starting a tour out and, one of the spirits who we refer to as Peter, because we think we know Peter's story. He's right at the entrance. We think he died either around the entrance or on the stairs in 1917. Peter is very interactive since we've discovered his story and started sharing it. And that's why we think it's Peter. He has confirmed a voice has confirmed and with the dead bell that we use has confirmed that it's Peter. We can never be 100% sure, but I'm pretty positive that if the spirit isn't Peter, he at least likes to think he's Peter and responds to Peter. We're starting the tour and I'm giving him the history of the building. Of course, the EMF meters are lighting up that are on the table where the tour starts. And all of a sudden, I have this static electricity that runs up my arm. And I jumped and swore. And the tour stopped right then and there. We all run downstairs to see if it was caught on camera and what was caught. Go back and we search. And I'm like, is that movement on my shirt? And we enlarged it and we narrowed it down to that right, like half second that it comes up. And my shirt, the minute I feel that static electricity running up my arm, my shirt lifts up like two invisible fingers pinched it and made like that tent shape when somebody like pulls a piece of clothing or a piece of cloth up and then dropped right as I jumped. It was phenomenal.
Wow.
Yeah. I think they do a lot of that to get my attention or to get the group's attention. We were upstairs in the jail cells and unfortunately it didn't get caught on camera, but my tour group saw it. There's this little table by one of the jail cells where sometimes people put offerings. Somebody had left an empty water bottle on it. And as I'm walking into one of the jail cells, describing what this cell was and who had been here, all of a sudden I feel this water bottle hit me in the butt. And I'm looking around and I'm like, who did that? And I look at my tour group and they have shocked looks on their faces. And one lady stammers out, that water bottle flew off the table to hit you.
See, and how does that happen? Because if anything, if there was a little wind, it would, as soon as it got off the table, it fall to the ground. You know,
it would fall straight down.
Yeah, there's not enough wind gust that's going to go through a building to cause something to fly into you.
And this had to shoot 2 to 3 feet to hit me.
Oh, and that's a long way.
It's a long distance. And we have no AC and no heating in the building, which is why it is so hot there in the summertime and so cold in the winter. Mm-hmm. But it's amazing. Yeah, so those are probably two of my favorite experiences. I will say there is something to the thinning of the veil on Halloween night and November 1st, Day of the Dead in Hispanic cultures. There's only one other night that I have experienced such intense activity besides those two nights. Those two nights were the most intense activity I've experienced in a year. I am so excited because this is going to be my second Halloween and second Day of the Dead in the building. And I am just waiting to see if I can compare evidence from Halloween and Day of the Dead last year to Halloween and Day of the Dead this year to see if that energy level is so ramped up. And yeah. This is part of, sorry, I've completely taken us in a new direction. This is part of the research project aspect of this is we want people to experience it, but we are doing what we can to document 24 hours a day, 7 days a week with these video cameras. Mm. And then having these tours run through on a regular basis that are strictly paranormal tours. We're trying to see if we can capture reoccurring evidence, because that's the biggest argument in the scientific community about paranormal research is that we can't document it the way the scientific theory says you need to document things. You have to create evidence that repeats itself over and over again that you can document, that you can glean information from, and that you can not just take it from hypotheses, but take it to solid theory. And so that's kind of what we're trying to do here is we're trying to see if there are things that we can do on a regular basis that can create these reoccurring experiments that we need to actually document that the paranormal exists or that, you know, that spiritual activity exists.
I do think it would be really interesting to keep track of that, because I imagine there's some random things that would happen. But if you got some similar experience, for example, this coming Halloween as you did last Halloween, that would be really interesting.
So one of the things, this was in 2004, the spring of 2004, we had that anomaly where we could see the northern lights much lower on the what do they call it, longitude, latitude?
Yeah, that, lower. I think that kind of happened this past year too.
Yeah, there was another one that happened last fall, and I wasn't around at the courthouse for that. But the first big one that happened, we had the most exceptional activity. And so one of the things that I'm watching now is that's solar flare activity. Mm. And it's magnetic fields that solar flares send us and solar storms send us magnetic fields that create the northern lights. So now I'm trying to keep an eye on that kind of data, which is free data that you can get online, you know, from government sites. And so I'm trying to keep that as a documented element in, you know, I look at weather conditions, I look at moon cycles, sun cycles, and now solar flares. I do think geology plays a part in it. I think the reason the California Gold Rush is so haunted is it has to do with the geology of the reason. But the geology in this case is the same as it always is because it's at the same place. But I do document the geology of each haunted location I go to try to understand how that plays a part and see if we can create some sort of correlational data as to, you know, why things occur in these different areas.
What will you be looking for this Halloween? What are some of the things that happened last year since it was so active?
So some of the experiments that we have, one of the experiments that I absolutely loved, and it started out as just a bunch of girls getting together for having this fun ghost hunting party at a haunted Airbnb. We had charcuterie and we had sangria, and we were just having this fun atmosphere. And I thought, and the place that we were at was supposed to be a secret gambling hall at one point. So I was like, well, they would have played cards. What is a really simple card game that even if spirits in the area don't play cards, but we could teach them to play? Mm-hmm. And so this has become a thing that I do on a regular basis, and it works really well in jails. I've done it in about 3 different jails now. And I started working with the spirits to play blackjack. And I use a dead bell. And so for any of your listeners that don't know what a dead bell is, it's a REM pod that's been stuck inside a little box with a bellhop bell on top. And it's a really ingenious device. And I get more response from the dead bell than I do like a regular REM pod, because the dead bell is something that it's recognizable for over about 150, maybe even close to 200 years. It's something that's been in our history. So if a spirit has been around for 50 years or 80 years, they're not going to know what a REM pod is, but they're going to know what that bell is, that bellhop bell, because they would have seen it in hotels and post offices and that sort of thing. So whoever created this thing, kudos to you. It is ingenious, and it is one of my favorite devices. When I'm doing spirit communication, I ask the spirits to ring the bell, and I tell them ring once for yes and twice for no when we're having conversations and asking questions. And I get some great response. I found some amazing historic data to back up responses, but I decided to try this out with blackjack. So it's ring once for hit and twice for say. And sometimes I have to realize that I might be in an area where a spirit may not have known how to do math. So we might have to do the math for them, but they,
think about that.
Yeah. And it's been an evolving process. We have one particular jail cell that those spirits that hang out in that area, they love it. My son goes in, and if he's on a tour and it's a quiet or a small tour and I'm working with them, he'll go to that jail cell and just play blackjack with the spirits. He's done the same thing with Peter downstairs. Like if he gets to a point where he's like, well, it's a 4-hour tour. So like usually around the 3-hour mark, if he's not needed, because if it's a big group, he'll take a group and then I'll take a group and then we'll swap our groups. But he'll go downstairs and he'll play blackjack with Peter. He's taught Peter how to play it. It's something that's really fun, and it's something that's documentable, and it's something that we've been able to do on a regular basis. And it doesn't work every time. If the spirit energy is low that night, they won't be interested. If the spirit energy is chaotic that night, but I would say 2 out of every 3 nights, we have some spirit in the building that is up to play blackjack using the dead bell as a form of, you know, hit or stay.
That is interesting. And you're teaching new card games and math in the afterlife.
Right?
That's a win-win. You're helping.
They say you're never too old to learn something new. Apparently, you're never too dead to learn something
exactly. new. Exactly. Now, you mentioned about filming in there and keeping cameras running. Now, you're doing a TV show, or you're filming for something.
Yeah, I have almost a year's worth of footage now, and I'm starting to put together. I've got a friend that's helping me with the website. I'm hoping before the end of the year, I'm really hoping by like mid-November, I will have this up and running. It's going to be called Haunted 24/7. There is an Instagram if anybody wants to follow it so that they can see what it's all about. And it's all about experiments that me and fellow investigators that are regulars there. I have a couple volunteers that we create and we do. It's people that come are told that their tour is going to be filmed and that we might be using some of that footage. And most people are down with that, and they, you know, sign a waiver. Those that aren't, you know, I just make sure that that any footage they're in, I don't use, which could be heartbreaking for me if it's an amazing footage, mm-hmm. but so far that hasn't happened. And, you know, we've got, we'll call them pro investigators that come out, people that have been doing it for years like me. We've got, amateur investigators, people that have just started. We've got people that have no idea what an investigation is, but they want to do something spooky and new and they want to try it out. And, I've got equipment there that they can use. And so it's all about documenting the building, documenting the spirits and the paranormal activity in the building, but also documenting how people of all different levels of paranormal investigation experience interact and the experiences that they have with the building as well. My dog, Sammy, is even part of this project.
I wanted to ask you about Sammy, because as I tend to do, before we started recording, you and I talked about dogs because yep. I'm that person. And we were talking about Sammy, and you take Sammy with you on all the time, right?
I take a him lot. With me on any investigation that I know a dog is allowed. There's another project that I'm working on that I'm sure that we'll get to after this, but Sammy has only been allowed on one of those so far. But mostly because several of the places that we filmed at have been restaurants. So Sammy couldn't go, unfortunately.
Oh, right. That makes sense.
But as the word is getting out, we have a winery that we just talked to yesterday, and we're going to be filming them soon. And they have invited Sammy to be part of it. He was actually part of our initial investigation into the place while we were looking into the location. And he had experiences there, and he actually, his skills gave us a theory on this new location that I'm going to be really excited to share when it comes out. But yeah, so Sammy is a stray that I found the night after a paranormal investigation in Jackson, just a couple blocks from the Jackson courthouse. He was definitely had been a street dog for a really long time. My guess would be based on how matty his coat is. He's not a shedding dog. He's a golden doodle. So you have to shave them. And his coat was probably at least 2 years old and really filthy and matted. And he just seemed friendly. And I'm that person that stops when they see a lost dog or, you know, a potentially lost cat. I stop and I want to find them their home. And so Sammy jumped in my truck. Sammy set off the spirit box, the SB7 spirit box, right away. He turned it on. So I automatically knew that I had to see if he was paranormal sensitive, because I've heard of it. I have two other dogs and neither one, they don't care. I take them to a cemetery and they just wander around and, you know, they have no idea where they're at. But I've heard that some dogs are sensitive. And so I was curious with him setting off that spirit box. And I took him to the courthouse not long after that, and he definitely seemed to have interaction with spiritual activity. And so now he's at the courthouse about 50% of the time. I don't take him every time, because if we have big groups, he's kind of a free spirit. Mm-hmm. He listens
as a golden doodle is.
Yes. He listens what he wants to. And if there's trash around, that is the one thing that he has to pay more attention to than anything else. Paranormal people, it doesn't matter. Trash is Sammy's goal in life.
Because there might be some food. The guy lived Absolutely. On the streets. I get it.
Yeah. Yeah. His tummy is never satisfied, and I understand why.
Do you frequently kind of, because I always say, when you're feeling something, like a while back, I woke up in the middle of the night. I'm like, what was that? I thought I heard something. And whether it's an intruder or it's paranormal, I'm going to look to my dog first. And yes. if he's sleeping, I'm good. And he was sound asleep. So I'm like, okay, maybe that was just a dream or something. I don't know what it was, but my dog is perfectly fine. When you take him out on locations, you know, go to the jail, courthouse, do you kind of look to him sometimes to see how he reacts?
I look to him all the time to see how he reacts. Sometimes I will get so focused on attempting to communicate with a spirit or in the middle of spirit communication that I suddenly realized Sammy is doing something odd. And that's really what I look for. I look for odd Sammy behavior. One of his telltale signs is whimpering. Sammy is a dog at home. He never whimpers. When we're out driving around, he never whimpers. If he whimpers, something is up. And at the courthouse, he whimpers very frequently, and he whimpers frequently in areas where I have documented paranormal activity. Mm. And so if he's, that's my first telltale sign with Sammy. The very first time that we went there, the basement is hard to explain. So the basement is where the original jail cells were with the first and the second building. After the remodel, there were jail cells on the third floor, but then when they expanded jail cells out more. So that whole floor then became nothing but jail cells, with the exception of the holding cell, which is on the main floor. So the basement has a massive amount of paranormal activity. It's also our home base for, like, you know, where the security cameras are. And so I spend a lot of time in the basement, and Sammy, the first time he came in, there's the main room in the basement, which became a World War II bomb shelter when they did the remodel. And there's an offshoot room where there's still an old jail cell door, and it became kind of like a file storage room. They opened up the cells and it became this like L-shaped room, but there's a doorway between the two rooms, and Sammy will go to that doorway, and it does not have a door anymore. It's just an open walkway, and he'll go to that doorway, and he will not cross into that room without a human with him, preferably me or Will. Like, guests have tried to coax him into that room, and he won't go with them, but he will stand at that door and he will whimper. And when he does that, we go into that room and we get incredible activity. It's like he's telling us, and it's not like, you know, some dogs whimper and it's like a painful whimper. This is more of an excited, like, hey, there's something going on whimper. And we go, every time we've gone into that room on Sammy's, you know, cue, we have gotten just unusual, intense activity, whether it's the spirit box, just voices coming through. One night we were in there and I was trying to get them to knock. I find, like, I'll encourage them to knock and they'll be don't seem to have the knocking down yet, but there will be a very strong sound of something. One night we were in there and I'm doing the knocking thing and I'm like trying to get them to knock. And all of a sudden we heard this noise and it sounded like a large piece of wood splintering. Like, have you ever pulled wood in you? There's that splintering noise.
Very distinct sound.
Yes. Very distinct sound. You know exactly what it is. And we got it on camera and it's the splintering noise. And it's loud. And it scared all of us because it was just, we just knocked. And then all of a sudden it was not the noise we were expecting. And we looked around in the basement at all the wooden areas and there was no wood splintered off anywhere. I've racked my brain trying to figure out what could mimic that sound. And we have found nothing that could potentially have made that sound, but that's exactly what it sounded like. And there was five of us in that room and all five of us heard it.
Mm. Isn't that something?
Yeah. So I rely 100% on Sammy. We were doing filming for the other show on Monday night.
And tell me about the other show. What will that be?
So the other show.
Or can you share information on that?
I can absolutely share information on that. We're just getting around to starting to promote it. The first episode, we are hoping to have it out before October 31st. So we want it out this month. It'll be a weekly show. It's only 6 episodes for the first season, but we are already talking to locations for season 2. That's the location that I just met with on Monday that Sammy's going to star in. Yeah, so we are, we've already been given a season 2. It is a TV show, but it is for a local TV station here in El Dorado County in California, and it's called Foothill 7. They will be releasing it. They are a station that partners with a cable provider here in the area. And so they have like 60,000 viewers, and it's just a little local production.
Yeah, but how exciting.
It's very exciting. And he, the owner of the station, found us through Facebook. It's me and my friend Jack, who runs Ghost Tours out of Placerville. We partnered together just to help locals in the Gold Rush country. There's a lot of haunted homes, a lot of haunted restaurants, and people with the paranormal investigations in Jackson that I'm doing and the ghost tours he was doing. A lot of people have come up to us and they're like, can you let us know if our place is haunted and what they want? You know, because a lot of people are very scared when they get this kind of what we call paranormal or supernatural activity. And so we just started doing little bits here and there of just kind of like establishing spirit communication. And we went into this restaurant in Placerville called The Market on Main. And they are the most lovely people. The food is fabulous. And they were feeding us while we were investigating. And
even
they have
better.
Right? They have a very playful, very lovely female spirit named Sarah. We found the history on Sarah, and Sarah loves the owners of the building. She loves the cookies they bake. I guess she can smell them or taste them somehow spiritually, but she's told us specifically that she loves the cookies they bake. When she doesn't like somebody, she locks them out of the bathroom. When she's being playful, she locks people in the bathroom. So going to the bathroom at the restaurant there can be a little bit of a fun paranormal experience. She often will tickle the cook, whoever's cooking in the kitchen, she'll often tickle them. She's just generally a very happy, lovely presence. And them knowing about her, they now come in and every morning they say, good morning, Sarah. You hope you had a good night. They leave and they say, good night, Sarah. You know, we love you. You know, hope you have a good night. They said that the building has become like this really harmonious. It was a great space and they loved the space before. They just didn't really know what this different activity was. And the husband and wife that own it, he has actually seen her once and really startled him.
Oh,
and
wow.
Now she's just become a part of their restaurant family. I was able to teach the wife how to use a pendulum. So she loves pendulum communication with Sarah. I'm somebody that I think that a pendulum and dowsing rods, and I'm not a fan of Ouija boards, but Ouija boards, I think all the old methods of communication that a lot of modern investigators don't want to use or don't think are scientific enough, I think we can use both old and new tools together to really establish great communication. And mm-hmm. I think that we can validate it more by having, like, if somebody's using a pendulum and the dead bell at the same time, and we're getting, you know, yes answers on the pendulum and yes answers on the dead bell, to me, that's just adding extra verification that we're actually getting an intelligent response.
Now, on the TV show, it'll air locally. It'll air locally, but will they also stream it, maybe? Put it on the website?
They will be streaming it on Foothill 7, and then probably not long after all six episodes are released on Foothill 7, Jack, my filming partner, and I we have a YouTube channel set up. We'll be sharing different content from different things that we have permission from different investigations, and we're in the process of creating events so people can come out and experience places at some of these public locations that don't allow investigators to come in. They're like, a lot of the places are going to be restaurants and bars. And so we're working with them to create mini investigations where they come in and they have a signature cocktail or a signature dessert, and you get to have dessert and a cocktail and spend a couple hours having respectful spirit communication.
I would love that.
Yeah. So we're working on creating a TV show that also embodies real-time experiences for people who really want that interaction with spiritual communication.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Now, maybe when the show comes out, you and Jack can come on together and we can talk once there's a few episodes out.
Oh, we would love that. Jack and I love to talk.
That would be so fun to talk about the experiences.
Yeah.
Because you don't want to give it away before the episodes run, but it'd be really fun to talk about it.
Yeah. And, the other thing that we have in this show is a very good friend of mine is a medium that has worked with a lot of big, well-known paranormal investigators over the years. And she's really talented. She lives in our backyard, a couple towns over. And she is going to be featured in one of the episodes. And we're probably going to feature her more because, again, we want to show all aspects of paranormal investigating, you know, from the scientific and the technical to the mystical. Mm-hmm. So she's absolutely incredible. She's probably one of the most on point mediums I've ever met. And she's one of the few mediums that I've met that says, you know what, we're human. We make mistakes. We don't always get it right. She said a lot of mediums spend so much time trying to prove that they're a medium. She's like, I've got nothing to prove. She's like, if I am wrong, she says, I will 100%, you know, say I'm wrong. But she's absolutely phenomenal.
And just bringing that different perspective in, I think really, really matters.
Yeah, I think it does too.
Someone with different, with abilities like she has. I think that,
yeah,
that changes it up and brings a different perspective to it.
I completely agree. I am of the frame of mind, while I am a skeptical believer, I don't think you should leave any tools outside of an investigation. Mm-hmm. Now, that doesn't mean I need to bring in like 50,000 tools, but I what I'm referring to is old school tools for spiritualism, which dates back to the Victorian era, would have been Ouija boards, pendulums, dowsing rods, and spiritual mediums. Mm-hmm. And we have technology now, and the technology is just as fallible as those other things, and it can be just as accurate as these other things. And so I think bringing them together is an important function. I don't think that a dowsing rod is any less technical than a REM pod. Anybody who's fully used, and if anyone is skeptical about dowsing rods, go to Amazon, get yourself an inexpensive pair of dowsing rods. I've used numerous dowsing rods for them. I prefer copper or brass, but take them to a spiritual location, hold as still as you can. See if you can get some responses on dowsing rods. It will blow your mind. It will absolutely blow your mind, because looking at pendulums and dowsing rods, you can't, it's easy to look at them and be like, yeah, they're moving that. But when you experience it firsthand, and you know, like with dowsing rods, their handles are a tube that the metal runs through. So the metal is free rotating. And when you hold those and you see those rods crossed, it suddenly opens up your mind to all the possibilities of what are out there.
And I think with dowsing rods, like the only time I've ever, like I've gone on these ghost tours or something, and they're like, here, you can use these. I really think you need to be in a different state of mind, a different, not with a whole bunch of strangers looking at you like, are you getting anything? You know,
yeah.
I think you kind of need to become one with it, like focus on what you're doing. You know what I mean?
And yeah, I've experienced in groups where I've brought up dowsing rods, and a lot of people want to try dowsing rods and pendulums. And I've experienced in groups where it's good for some, and then others like are like, I can't really focus on this.
Yeah, and that's so, me.
I need to
be quiet and kind of get in tune with what I'm doing, and I feel pressure. I'm like, they should be moving. They're not moving. Why am I moving? That one's moving over there. You know, and I don't think, I'm not putting myself in the right state of mind, I think.
Yes. Yeah. And and I've worked with people like that. And what I do is I'm like, take it in the other room. Like especially at the courthouse. I'm like, this courthouse is haunted. All the jail cells have some form of activity. Some are higher than others. But I'm like, take it in that quiet room over there while these people are doing over there. Like, give yourself a moment to like relax and focus on it. But yeah, they're amazing. It's an amazing, mind-blowing experience.
Now, is the best way for people to get information? You've got a Facebook page, Gothic Paranormal. You can go there. What about your Instagram page?
My Instagram page is Gothic Paranormal.
Okay, as well.
Yeah. For the TV show, we have Haunted Horizons Official. There's not much up yet, but there will be a lot pouring through soon. And it's a good way to find the TV show if you're looking for when it's going to launch.
And then you can come back when it does launch.
Exactly. Exactly. Or obviously just follow me on Gothic Paranormal.
Yeah.
I'm going to let you know when all these things launch.
Well, Amy, this was such a fun conversation. Thank you so much for taking the time.
Thank you. This has been an absolute pleasure.
And that wraps up our conversation with Amy Davis of Gothic Paranormal about the old Amador County Courthouse and Jail. For more information on tours, visit restoreamador.com. For more information on Amy, follow Gothic Paranormal on Facebook or Instagram. If you'd like access to all of our episodes, including the archive and advance episodes, everything commercial free, you can become a Gravekeeper. Sign up on Apple Podcasts or go to patreon.com/thegravetalks. I'm Carol Hughes, and for all of us here at The Grave Talks, we thank you for listening.
Mr. Monopoly here. Monopoly is back at McDonald's. Register in the McDonald's app so you're ready to
get your bag.
Two ways to peel for a chance to
get your bag.
Physical peels with select items and digital peels with others to
get your bag.
Play Monopoly at McDonald's. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
No purchase necessary. See rules at playatmcd.com for full details and amoe.playatmcd.com to play without purchase. Ends November 23rd, but bonus play ends November 2nd. Monopoly is a registered trademark of Hasbro. Copyright McDonald's.